A tremendous privilege to be able to introduce our guest speaker tonight. She, this is Karina, and she and Todd lead our youth. But Karina, in her own right, is an amazing woman of God and a preacher. So come on up. Would you bless and honor Karina?
Thank you. Thank you. Don't you just love our pastors? Yeah. I do. They just make me feel like I can do anything. You know, that's how it should be with our papa. He just says you can do anything. You feel like you can conquer the world and you can fly because in his presence there's freedom. So I just love you both so much. And thank you for all the love that you just shower me with. I really love you. Wow, it's great. I want to tell, before I start, the young gentleman that came up here and said, I don't know. You know, that was God. I know it might have seemed like, what was that about? But we don't always have to know. You know, sometimes we feel like we always want to explain God and put him in a box. But God doesn't want to be in a box. So I just want to tell you that that he's just about to pour out more wisdom and revelation in your life. So just be ready for that. You know, when we think we know it all and we have a lot to say sometimes, we don't allow God to pour in more revelation. And there's so much he wants to pour into us. So, yeah, it just bless you with that. More, more, more. You're awesome. There's some great testimonies tonight. You guys are going for it. And Papa just says, I am so proud of you. I mean, wow. That just so encouraged me. Just bless you. During worship, I saw the Father just begin to give gifts, you know, this Christmas time. I just think that until the end of the year that God is just going to begin to give us gifts and that we need to just be ready. There's something new every day. So every morning, just wake up and hold your hands out and just be ready to receive, because it's just the time. It's not a time to be humble and say, oh, you know, I don't need that. It's time to really just get greedy, to sit up at that banqueting table, and you all have a seat there at that banqueting table, and just sit up and eat and receive everything that Papa wants to give you. I just saw I saw increase. I saw inheritances being released. You know, we all have an inheritance. We have to, it's just waiting there for us to grab it and receive it. So just be ready for that. I saw babies. I don't know if that's spiritual or what that is. I think it's also, though, those of you that have been believing for children and maybe think that you're too old or it's physically impossible, I really feel like God is just saying, just start thanking me now. Instead of praying and just stressing over it, just start saying, thank you, Papa, for my children, because he said to be fruitful and multiply, right? So just start thanking him for the babies. You know, this new wave of kids that are coming in, it's exciting. Yeah, so just receive that. Before I start, I want to do this. We, at our youth group a few weeks ago, we asked Jesus to show us something that we don't know about him yet. I think someone did this at their home group recently, and whoa, it's powerful. And so I'm going to ask a few of our youth to come up and share what Jesus showed them, because like I said earlier, we don't know everything yet, and so there's new things about him. Come on up, guys. There's three of you. Let's give them applause, shall we? They're just going to share with you something that Jesus has showed them that they didn't know before about him. This is Jake.
Hey, I'm Jake. I just asked God to show me something I didn't really know about him. And before I asked him that for a while, it just seems like every time I'd pray about something, like something I would want to happen, I mean, it just seemed like it would never happen. Like God would like change my plans completely. And God just told me that when he does that, it's for my good, and that's the part I knew. But he also told me that it's not always going to be that way with me, and that just really made me happy.
Well, it was really interesting when we did this exercise, because I thought I knew like a lot about God. You know, I've grown up being a Christian, you know, so I'm supposed to know like pretty much all of it, you know, maybe a little bit. No, so I'm sitting there, okay, God, you know, you're technically eternal, so there's got to be something new. So I'm sitting there, and he gave me like 7 things, you know. I was like, wow. And the main thing that really stuck out was he said, I'm pollinating. Isn't that weird? Okay, so he explains now. Okay, so basically, the more we spend time with God, and the more we spend in his presence, the more he pollinates our gifts and brings out the fruit in us and just lets us grow in him, the more in him. And so, like, he's like, you know, if you're a drummer, I'm a drummer. If you, and you know, and you're like, man, I'm stuck, you know, I can't do anything, you know, and just God begins to flow through you, and the more you spend time with him, you know, just your gifts, you know. And just really gives life to that.
That was William, and this is Brian. I told you this was Jake, right? Okay, here's Brian.
Hi. I just got that when we were doing the exercise, I just got that we don't always have to treat him as a king, and we should treat him as a king sometimes, and since he is greater than us and stuff, but we don't always have to act like that. Like, we can just act like he's just a friend of ours, you know? Like, if you have like a king coming over to your house, son, you're gonna like make everything ship-shape, perfect. You're gonna make the best meal you can, all that. When you have like a best friend come over, you don't really care. Just you're comfortable with him and stuff. I just say that.
That was great. Wow. One of our youth leaders saw Jesus making mud pies with her and making snow angels with her, and you know, it wasn't some big spiritual thing. It was just those little things that Papa likes to do with us, and I thought that was really sweet. So yeah. So you know, I was thinking about how we're always crying out and praying for a revival, and you know, we really want that. But I really think that, you know, we're already living in the midst of it. You know, there's always more, but don't you think we're already living in revival? I mean, we really don't want to miss the time of our visitation. We really don't want to miss that. I mean, we're seeing just signs and wonders, the testimonies we heard tonight, the miracles, the healings, you know, blind eyes being opened. We're living in revival, and it's just so exciting to me that, you know, we don't have to keep crying out. There's always more to pray for, always more to cry out for. But we're really living in the middle of it right now. We hear a lot of negativity on the news. You know, we watch the news. I don't try not to watch the news too much. But do you want to hear some good news, something I heard recently? Yeah, this is good news. I'll try not to cry. But recently, 15 young girls, they're between the ages of 13 and 17, were victims of human trafficking here in the Bay Area, you know, which is the sex trade industry and all that, and just gets my heart, because I have such a heart for young girls that are living in that lifestyle, and to see that God just broke in and rescued these girls, 15 of them, I mean, that is good news. That's good news to me. That's not, you know, in Cambodia or some third world country. That's here in the Bay Area. That is good news. And not only that, but under a new law in California, these girls are going to be treated. They're going to be counseled. They're going to be loved on. They're not, before they would have been punished. You know, they would have been looked at as criminals in society and sent to juvenile hall. But now they're going to be loved on and counseled. And that is amazing to me. That is reformation. A.W. Tozer said that there is no revival without a reformation. So what is a reformation? It's just the process of reforming an institution or a practice. But, you know, we talk about reformation. I don't know if you've heard that word, or cultural transformation. What are these big words? What does all that mean? Well, to me, this testimony is it in action. This is what it looks like. It looks like something. This is what it looks like, and it just grips my heart in ways. You know, I love seeing someone get a gold tooth, and I love signs and wonders, but to see someone, you know, be reconciled to God, to see people get healed, and to see people forgive when it's really hard to forgive, it just grips my heart. I mean, it's just the way I'm wired. I just, you know, that's what brings me to tears, and I just love that God's doing that. It's just, it's really the mercy of God that triumphs over judgment. That's what this whole thing is about. That these girls are completely unpunishable. They're not subject to punishment, and it's so exciting to me. It's heaven's government. What heaven's government is. It's touching the earth, and it just, I don't know. It really excites me. So another aspect of revival and what characterizes reawakening, that's what revival is broken homes being reunited, people begin to get a new love and unity for one another and reconciliation. Because we hear testimony after testimony. Every testimony we heard tonight was about people being restored, you know, people finding Jesus. And so we're hearing a lot of that. Marriages restored, prodigals coming home. And so I just feel like it's on God's heart right now, this widespread reconciliation. It's what he's doing. And reconciling is really just returning to friendship with someone after a quarrel or after a fight. That's what reconciliation is. So, you know, I feel like we've all kind of maybe had a broken relationship somewhere along the way. You know, I'm not talking about losing contact with, you know, a long-lost friend, but really where there's been some kind of misunderstanding maybe. You know, I think probably a lot of us have had that along the way. And we can't change people. We can't change their behaviors, but, you know, we're only responsible for us. But I really do believe that there is a grace being released for just massive reconciliation, you know, here in the church. And then, you know, as that happens, it's going to happen more and more out there. So it's exciting times, really exciting times for me. So we've been reconciled to God, of course, through Jesus. He became the great mediator for us. So in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, just go ahead and read it. For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through life? And then in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, I'm going to read it from the Message Bible, so you could turn there if you want. 2 Corinthians 5. Oops. Okay. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. God put the world square within himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God has given us the task of telling everyone what he's doing. That's a pretty good task, I'd say. We are Christ's representatives, and we want to represent him rightly in the earth. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and to enter into God's work of making things right between them. It's pretty cool. In other versions, it says that we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. So, you know, you've been asking God, when's my ministry coming? There you go. That's your free gift right there. You have the ministry of reconciliation. It's already yours. There's your ministry. So, a while back, I shared this vision before, but the Lord brought it up again, where I saw these young children lining up to... you know, the teacher calls them to get in line to go in after recess, and they're kind of pushing each other, how you do in elementary school, cutting each other in line and kind of acting up, dishonoring one another and dishonoring the teacher. And then once they all line up, the teacher says, okay, class, come on in. Well, it's kind of the same with the body. You know, when we learn how to take our rightful place with God, when we align ourselves with Him and take our place, then I feel like Papa says, come on up, come up higher, you know, come on up here. I think spontaneity is so great, and revival can be messy at times, but heaven really values structure and order, and sometimes we just don't really understand that. That, you know, all throughout the Bible, God is just so specific and detail-oriented in the way He creates, in the way He designs. It's, you know, it's all throughout the Bible. It's really astounding. So with that, with everybody lined up, I saw an angel. And let me just explain first that, you know, I didn't always see angels. It's not some big mysterious thing. I think everybody is meant to see in the spirit. You know, someone prayed for me, and then suddenly I just began to see more. But, you know, it's there. It was there all along. The spiritual realm is happening all the time. We just sometimes don't quite see with our natural eyes. So I just release over you right now that you will be able to see what's already going on in heaven, in the spirit realm. You'll be able to see the angels, because they're really for a purpose when you see angels, you know, really most of the time. So anyway, this angel was sprinkling salt over the church, over the body as we were lined up. And what's that? The angel's going to eat us now? I don't know. Like, what is that? No, the angel is not going to eat us. I've since seen this angel. And this angel, what does salt do? It preserves. So the angel was preserving. We are salt. We are the salt of the earth. And in Matthew 5, I'll just read it really quick because I like it in the message. Matthew 5, verse 13, it says, let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? I like that. That's cool. Cool in the message. So, you know, we don't have to, you've heard this before, we don't have to create unity. It already exists here. We are unified. But we still need God to come along sometimes and help preserve that, to protect our relationships. We need God to do that for us sometimes. You know, I love signs and wonders. I love being in the throne room. I love the mystery of God and, you know, all that entails, that everything that I don't fully understand. I love those things. But without love, that is really nothing. You know, it's really nothing. When it's all said and done, we just want to know that we've learned how to love. After all, that's what I want to know. Lord, have I learned to really love? Because if I haven't, then what's the rest? We don't want to be another casualty, and we won't be, you know, that because we didn't know how to love one another. We won't be that. That's not who we are, or a revival that ended before its time. We're not going to be that. We're going to keep this momentum going and pass it on to the next generation until Jesus returns, because revival was not meant to ever end. Of course not. It's supposed to keep going and going and going. So I realize that I'm talking to you that already get it. You guys already get it, so I know that so well. You guys love each other so beautifully. I see it all the time, this love exchange that goes on here. It just astounds me. But I just feel like Jesus has raised the standard even higher. It's like, oh, the bar has been raised to love each other so radically. I'm talking about really radically, that it's going to bring transformation to our workplace, to our families, in the supermarket, in the mall. It's going to bring major transformation when we can love so radically, and then ultimately to the nations. So I think that's really what I'm talking about here. These are Blazing Fire's core values. Y'all seen these? Yay, yes. They're not just a cute little pamphlet out there. They are filled with love and with honor. These are our values. Let's see. The first one is we value intimacy with the one who loves us. His presence is our top priority. And then as we go on, we have an environment of grace where we don't hold offense against each other. We forgive others as we've been forgiven. And seeing the treasures in one another and causing each other to soar into our destinies, honoring one another, these are our core values, and they're lived out with love and honor. It's not a wish list of beliefs and ideas that we someday hope to attain to. That's not what this is. This is being lived out extravagantly. You know, I see it all the time, every day. So when you live out of these values, this is who you are. It's not who you are just at church, but you learn how to really learn how to respond to each other in love instead of reacting. And that, because that's just who you are, you know. And when you live out of these, you aren't dictated by what happens around you, by different circumstances or by the way other people act. This is just who you are. You live out of this no matter what. So just encourage you to think there's some out there. Pick one up if you don't have it and just read it. You know, it doesn't have to be your core values. If can make up your own values. But anyway, I love it. It just makes, you know, relationships, it makes life just a lot easier and a lot funner when you can live from these kind of values, because it just takes the pressure off. Really does. All right. Where am I at? So as we're seeing some relationships, you know, being healed just purely by the supernatural power of God. And, you know, we're just living under this open heaven. I do think also that God is just beginning to release to us new wisdom and insight in how to love one another intentionally, you know, in covenant relationship, kingdom relationship. He's beginning to show us new ways, because relationships aren't always easy. And I'm, you know, not an expert, but God has been giving me some really neat tools. So okay, so if you think of how we relate to each other as different rooms in a house, you think of the family room, where kind of where we're at. We take our shoes off and we can be really comfortable with each other. It's a place where you're known, where you can hang out and play games, and that's all wonderful. I love that. And then there is the entryway when you walk into a house, where some people tend to stay. And that's where you greet one another with formal handshake. And you're kind of indecisive about whether or not to take your jacket off or whether you're going to stay for a while. You know, that's where some people live. They're just like trying to figure things out. And that's okay. You know, sometimes people have to, Susan talked about this a while ago, they have to put up walls to protect themselves, you know. You have to put up walls to protect yourself, to keep, you know, you've been hurt enough times, and it's totally understandable why you feel like you'd have to do that to survive. Maybe you have fear, or fear of rejection, or fear of being known. You know, if they really get to know me, they might not like me. But the problem with that is that we were made to be known. We were made to be known. In Jeremiah, God says, you know that verse, that before you were even formed in the womb, I knew you. You know, he knew all about us. He knew every hair or lack thereof, hair on our heads. He knew everything, every cell. He knew our deepest dreams, our deepest desires. We were made to be known. And David's communion with God was a result of knowing that God truly loved him in his weakness. You know, he was totally comfortable and confident in that. So we've moved from aimless wandering, because we're not meant to wander, just be wanderers where we don't have a place to rest our head and we're not homeless, to covenant relationship with each other, loving kingdom covenant relationship. I was thinking how when you're little, have you ever tried to run away from your shadow? You know, it doesn't really work so well. It doesn't work. you can, you know, as you get older, you can change jobs, change churches, move halfway across the country, and there your shadow is, it's still going to follow you. So I liken that kind of with God. Until you sometimes look at some of those areas that God brings up. You're going to keep wondering, why is that shadow still following me? But God just wants to love on us. That's all it's about, just love on those areas and kiss us. So much fun. It's also like an earthquake. I'm giving you visual pictures because I'm visual, but I think of it like an earthquake. So an earthquake happens when there's hidden fault lines, and then what? Pressure is put on those fault lines, and then an earthquake happens. So sometimes we get mad at the earthquake, or we get mad, we say the earthquake is the problem. But really, it's, you know, God wants to look at those little broken areas, just lies that we believe sometimes. He wants to look at those and just kiss on us and love on us like only a good papa can, instead of us looking to the earthquake. So just want to encourage you with that. So what is love? Oh, got a song in my head now. I'm not going to sing. Todd? What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. No, what is love? Oh, no. Okay. Oh, and how do we love? Oops. Okay, so let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Now, this is a familiar chapter. You guys all know this, but from the Message Bible. Good. Okay. It's the way of love. So bear with me. I'm going to try to read the whole thing. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't know love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I am nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr but don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for itself. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Love doesn't have a swelled head. It doesn't force itself on others. It isn't always me first. It doesn't fly off the handle. It doesn't keep score of the sins of others. It doesn't revel when others grovel. It takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limit. We know only a portion of the truth, and what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our incompletes will be canceled. Isn't that great in the Message Bible? I love that. So in the NIV, it says that it's the most excellent way. We are to love, live out love in excellence. Now, it sounds pretty big, in here and out there. That's what God's called us to. Love involves trust, and what trust always involves vulnerability, and we don't always want to be vulnerable. That's not so fun. Love is kind. So I just want to make a point here that love, that kindness and being nice is not the same thing. That sometimes when people describe you as you're being nice, sometimes that means you're a doormat for them. So kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. I don't believe that being nice is even in the scriptures, and if it is, you can totally correct me. But so being kind, kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. And as we love radically, we become a symphony that resounds like the heartbeat of God, orchestrated by him, not what a loud clanging cymbal. The last thing the world needs is more noise. It's kind of noisy out there. Love is the only eternal gift of eternal value. Go on to verse 11. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. So that's childish and childlike. Two different things. Someone helped me with that. Something that was really neat, that word that Leona got about being childlike. That is God. That was a really good word. And the maturity kind of goes on with what I'm to talk about. So there's different stages of maturity. In the New Testament, the Greek, there's five Greek words that represent our spiritual growth and development. And this is where I wish I had the overhead, because I really don't want to murder these words. I don't know Greek. Does anybody know Greek? Please, there has to be one. Could someone please read these? Okay, I'm going to have to spell them then. Okay, the first one is N-E-P-I-O-S. Nepios. Thank you. Oh, Gina, now you have to come up here. Okay. That refers to us as babes in Christ, and that's 1 Corinthians 3, 1. Then there is padio. She already knows this. Padia, and that speaks of us as children. That's 1 John 2:18. Then there is technon. It's also translated as children, but it was used for an older child, and that's in John 13:33. Then we have huios. That's the word for a fully matured son in 2 Corinthians 6:18. And then we have pater, and that's the word for father. That's in 1 John 2:13. So these are all different levels of maturity or whatever, spiritual truths that we walk in. So we are all called to be childlike. That's totally God's heart for us to be childlike, but we're also intended to grow and to mature in love. And I believe, like, even in Revelation where it talks about the bride that's made herself ready, that is, she has come to a place of maturity in love. So how do children usually live out in relationship typically? What do we see? Sometimes they say, so-and-so took my toy, so I am not their friend anymore. Or they'll sometimes throw tantrums, not all kids. But sometimes they throw tantrums or cry because they don't know how to communicate well. So in kingdom relationships, as we mature in love, we're able to work through our differences without completely rejecting the relationship. That is the heart of God. So I look at it like you hit a bump in the road. You're going along and there's a bump there. So you have different choices. You can trip over it and fall flat on your face. Ouch. Or you can look at it and say, wow, that was unexpected. And that is an obstacle in my way, so I'm going to turn around and I'm going to run the other way. Or you can make an effort to step over that bump. And sometimes that involves forgiveness. And with forgiveness, I just want to say that doesn't, you know, when you forgive, I know there's horrible things that people have done to you. And that doesn't mean that you make whatever they did to you okay. That just says that, you know, it releases you more than it releases the other person. I know I've had, you know, as a young girl, I had some horrible things happen to me, but you can forgive, you know, you can choose to forgive. It's hard. I'm not saying it's always easy, but once you do, you forgive and then you step over. That's the choice you make, and that's part of growing up. So as we mature in love, we also learn how to communicate with each other. So let me have an example. How about Jake? Come on up here, please, Jake, my lovely assistant. Okay, so Jake and I are on a football team. Okay, pretend, right? We're on the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, we're the Dallas Cowboys. Okay, so we're on the same team, right? We're on the same team. We're for each other. You are not my opponent. You are not the Raiders. You're the Cowboys. You are on my team. You're on my team, right? We're for each other, okay? So we know that we're for each other, right? We're friends and everything. We're on the same team. That's the opponent over there. So you're going to say something that's going to make me think a little bit. You're going to say something like, you look kind of big in your uniform today. Okay? So I'm like, gosh, what does that mean? So I'm going to say, Jake, what did you mean by that? What did you mean I look big? I know that you love me, but what did you mean by I look big in my uniform? And you're going to say what? He's going to say, he's going to say, I don't think football players talk like this, but, okay. I'm a girl. Okay, he's going to say, you didn't look big. I just meant you looked thick and you look fluffy today. That's all, right? Yeah. And so, okay. Okay, Jake, I can be okay with that. You know, I know that you love me and we're for each other. But, okay, that's all. Thank you. Okay. Yay, Jake. Okay, so Jake and I can talk, and we can talk things out, and we can, you know, say how we both feel, how we both think, but we don't have to even agree, right? Do we have to agree? No? Really? Okay. I know that's foreign to some people. We don't have to agree, and we could still love each other. That is great. Don't you love that? That's freedom. Yeah. So, it's not all easy, you know, working out some of these bumps in the road. I'm not saying that it's all easy. Salvation is a gift, and there's things God gives us for free. There's His salvation and lots of things. His love, it's all free. It's a gift. But sometimes growth does have a cost, and, you know, I've heard that growing pains really hurt. I don't know what that's like, but I've heard that they really hurt. Our kids, when they're younger, they get everything for free. Yeah, you're leaving. They get everything for free, right? Your kids get stuff for free. They don't have to pay for anything. Josiah is going to be 16 next year, and he's going to probably have to get a job. Get a job and gain some responsibility. That's just part of growing up, right? And that's okay. So the good news with all this, though, is what? Jesus lives inside of you. He lives inside of you, so you are fully equipped to love because why? He first loved you. So you already know how to love. It's all inside of you. So back to the vision that I had, I was talking about earlier. The other thing about it was everybody was different in race, different tribes, different people. Everyone looked totally different from the next person. It was great. But we were all unified. And so how can that be? We're not like Whoville. We don't all sing the happy little Whoville song, and we don't sing Da Who. But I don't know the song. I'm not going to try. Whoa. So how can that be? How can we all be unified? It's because we're unified by the Spirit, right? So growing up, I lived in a pretty ethnically diverse neighborhood, and I'm half Japanese, but everyone just considered me Caucasian. I don't know. I was the minority. My parents were divorced when I was young, and so my dad lived in San Francisco, and I grew up going to the Castro district, you know, on most weekends. So because of that, I always had value for people that just were totally different from me. I just loved it. I really just embraced diversity. I thought it was awesome. Even in high school, we hung out with popular kids, but we just always, my sister and I over there, we wanted to hang out with all the groups, you know. We wanted to be friends with everyone. Why? Because from a very early age, we learned that just because people weren't like us, just didn't sound, look like us, that they still were very important and valuable. So here's a little story. I have a video. We'll probably put it on YouTube. It's really funny. But our dog, Max, oh, it's on YouTube? Okay. Our dog, Max, cute little dog. We have six bunnies. And we have Max, so the bunnies are multiplying, but they used to be closed in on the in a little hutch, but now they're roaming free. But anyway, back then, we just let the bunny loose for the day, and Max was out there, and so the bunny is just cute, just fluffy and sweet and adorable, just like all bunnies are, cute, fluffy. Okay, so Max comes along, and this unfamiliar creature in the bunny's environment. So the bunny just suddenly, this is crazy, you'll have to watch YouTube, but he turns into a ninja bunny, and I'm not kidding. He is crazy bunny. He just, like, starts attacking Max, and he's just little. Max is little, too, but the bunny just goes crazy and starts doing flips, does back flips over Max, like, clawing, crazy, mad ninja bunny. Why? You know, I've seen other probably bunnies and dogs that grew up together or cuddly and cute and sweet together, but because something unfamiliar in his space, you know, he's looked at as the enemy. You know, the bunny's going to go in for the kill because why? The bunny is threatened by someone that's not like him, you know. It's kind of funny. Anyway, what's the point? Oh, yeah. Great story. Okay. The point is that God, who made every snowflake totally different from the next, is just really obviously loves diversity. You know, he obviously does. So that's the beauty of the body, is just that we are all uniquely different from one another, yet somehow we fit perfectly. Isn't that astounding that we fit perfectly? All parts are needed in all different types of people, even different types of churches, you know, not just us, that we're all needed. We all carry the heart of God, but we just express him in totally different ways. And I just think that's wonderful that Todd can like Starbucks and I can like Pete's, and we could still stay married. We can? Yeah, we can. That's okay. Yeah. Yeah, that is funny, but it is so vital that we really just learn to, and we do here at Blazing Fire, we love and accept people that are totally different from us, and we don't judge, and that's just so on the heart of God. It's so important. Okay, so back to covenant. What is working out all this love and relationship? God has called us to covenant relationship with each other. So Danny Silk, awesome Danny, describes it like this. I allow you to influence me. You allow me to influence you. We have an environment of give and take, and we're both willing to die to protect our relationship. Wow, that's covenant relationship. David, he broke through the old covenant and lived in the new, in relationship with God and with Jonathan, of course. Their relationship totally was consisted of influence and sacrifice. They were able to do that. And we could do that in marriage a lot of times. We're able to influence and we have sacrifice, but for some reason with one another, we're a little more flippant about it, you know, in our relationship. But Jesus was the ultimate covenant keeper, right? He doesn't change his mind about us at all. He became man to love us and to show us a perfect manifestation of love on the earth. He loved absolutely perfectly. He chose to dwell on the earth fully man, yet fully God, and embraced human limitations just so that he would reveal to us this eternal love that doesn't have limitations or expectations or control. He chose to do that. And his love relationship was lived out with his disciples. It's pretty astounding. He became a servant in Matthew 20, verse 28. It says, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." And this is really key, not just with each other, but when we go out into our cities, too, to know how to serve, like Lee does with his outreach, to really know how to serve. Because once you go out and you serve and you take that place, then the city will begin to, your favor will increase. You know, you'll be able to gain favor once, but you need to come in as a servant, not as someone that's trying to invade. So I think that's really key in how to take our cities, serving. Jesus served. He taught for hours. He provided food for multitudes. He prayed for people. He healed people. He washed his disciples' feet. And then he said, "This is an example for you to do as I've done." But then in John 15, he says, "I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends." We're his friends. So I was reading yesterday, I was thinking about when Jesus first called his disciples, Peter and Andrew. They were found fishing, and they weren't the best of the best, Peter and Andrew. You know, they were just out there fishing. But even in the Jewish culture at that time, rabbis never went looking for their disciples. You had to apply, you know, if you wanted to be part of the, I think it's Talmudim, sorry if that's not right, but you had to apply. The rabbis didn't go looking. So Jesus just totally broke the mold. And the first thing he did when he called them, what did he do? He said, "I call you fishers of men." He called them into their destiny, who they really are. He said, "I call you fishers of men." He He lived out our core value number 6, Jesus. Seeing the treasures in one another and causing each other to soar into their destinies. So this was Jesus's core value before it was ours. We took it from him. He saw what the disciples couldn't see. He believed in them, and he poured his whole life into them and told them, you can do whatever I do. You can do it. Now, the disciples also fought. They didn't always agree. We know that they fought over who was the best in the kingdom, who's the greatest, and all that. So, but it really didn't change the fact that they were united under one common, one vision. It didn't change that at all. I love The Shack. Most of you probably read that. The author was here a while ago. So in The Shack, the love relationship is just expressed so beautifully between Jesus and the Father and Holy Spirit. It's such a beautiful portrayal of how they love, how they show honor and value for one another. And the author even describes them as totally, you know, looking different in appearance and purpose, but yet somehow they're one. And that's so God. That's a beautiful example for us to follow. So what is the relationship with Jesus? The ultimate covenant is with Jesus and his bride. And with us, he totally just sacrificed everything for us. You know, he keeps his covenant. He doesn't change his mind about us. And he's given us something to follow after, you know, his influence in our lives. And just giving. It just goes on and on and on. So that's all I have. But I would love if everyone could just go ahead and stand up, stretch a little bit. Stretch. Now, you guys are shiny people. You're just so shiny tonight. The light of God is just exuding from you. Beautiful. Go ahead and grab the hand of the person next to you. Let's just get all comfortable and cozy with each other, loving one another. Yeah, reach across the aisles, because Jesus just wants us to get real close. Yeah. Just pour out all the love that Jesus has given you into the person next to you right now. Don't even have to use words. We're unified by the Spirit of God. That's how we're unified, and it's something that's just so beautiful. God is just loving this right now. So I just pray right now, God, that you would unify our hearts, Jesus, by the Spirit of God. Thank you, God. We ask for an increase, God, of your love, that we could love so radically. God, we want to love radically. We want to go up another notch. We want to love the way you love, God, where we are completely consumed and even possessed by love. Radical love that sacrifices, where we can just pour out our lives for one another in honor and joy. More, Lord. More, God. Thank you, God. I just ask that this love would just be a light to the nations, God, that kings would come to this light, to this love, and want to know, what is this love? That it would transform cultures, that it would just exceed through barriers. And we just ask, God, that you would just love us and love through us like only you can do, God. More, more, more. Unify us, God. Thank you, Father. And we do ask, God, for relationships, broken relationships maybe from our past, that you would just begin to bring reconciliation, God. By your Spirit, we ask, Father, we choose to forgive. We choose to love, God, as you've loved us and given your life up for us, Jesus. Thank you, God. I just speak over you that that from this day forth, that God is just going to just wreck us even more with his love, that there would just be an increase of love and value and honor in our relationships with one another, and that the world would see this and say, wow, what kind of love? What kind of people love like that? We say, we do, God, we do. We love like that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you guys. Awesome. All right. That was fun. So, if you would like, I don't know, Carla maybe? Carla's going to come up and play for a while. Beautiful Carla. We love her so much. Appreciate her. Okay. Yeah, if you want prayer tonight, if you need healing in your body, there's... You want to pray? Mm-hmm. Do you want to pray? No. Okay, Pierre. Is Pierre still here? Tammy and Pierre will be... I didn't ask anybody ahead of time. Sorry. I don't know if you guys will be around. They could come up over here if you need healing in your body. And Helen, if you want to, you know, you need someone to help you to walk through some forgiveness or... whatever you need, just come on up. Let's have Brent, Suzanne, and who else? Marilyn, Sherry, Russ and Susan, whoever's willing. Leona. Yeah, come on up and get prayer. You guys are awesome. Bless you.